This is Alive with Joseph.
Amen. Welcome to the house of the Lord. And I'm excited at what the Lord will be doing for us this morning. We started looking at the cross and we opened up part two. We're going to look at part 2B at the cross. And we established a couple of things last week, which I will not want to repeat, but let me read our foundation scripture, then I will pick it up from there. Our foundation scripture was Philemon chapter 1 verse 6, which says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So we establish that now that you are in Christ, the only thing that is in you is good. Now that you are in Christ, the only thing in you now that you are in Christ is good. And the Bible makes it clear that you and I are to acknowledge. So we saw the word acknowledge. The word acknowledge is a Greek word which is called epignosis, which when it's interpreted, it means accurate, precise, exact knowledge. It means wholesome knowledge. It means revelation knowledge. Then we saw also in that same scripture in Philemon chapter 1 verse 6, Paul talking about the communication of thy faith. The communication of thy faith. The word communication is also a Greek word title which is known as koinonia. Koinonia translated, it means fellowship, it means partnership, and it also means participation. So Paul is saying that, the participation of your faith may become effectual. The participation of your faith may become effectual. The word effectual there means work all the time. So the participation of your faith can work all the time. It can work all the time when you come to the place of exact, precise, holistic and revelation knowledge. So let's read that scripture this way. The participation of your faith will work all the time when you come to the place of accurate, exact, precise, holistic and revelation knowledge. So your faith can work all the time when you come to the place of exact, precise, accurate, wholesome, which is holistic revelation knowledge. So we established that and we began to look quite a lot of things, and I want you to go to our podcast platforms. The messages are there for free. Go over them and over again. Now we stopped at the cross. We saw that the cross is beyond a wooden stick. We saw that the cross symbolizes the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the glorification of Christ. The cross is beyond the wooden stick. The cross symbolizes the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the glorification of our Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes, if we are not paying attention, you and I could begin to think that the price of sin was paid on the cross. Follow me carefully. The price of sin, we could think that it was paid on the cross. The price of sin was not paid on the cross when Jesus was hanging on the cross. The price of sin was not paid when Jesus was hanging on the cross. Jesus hanging on the cross was the starting point. That was not when it was paid. It was the starting point when Jesus said, "It is finished" on the cross. Bear in mind, he had not yet died. So when he said it is finished, he was not talking about the price of sin being paid. No, that was not what he was referring to. And the Bible makes it clear to us that the wages of sin is death. So it was necessary that Jesus dies for the price of sin to be paid. So if Jesus' primary assignment was to pay for sin of humanity and for mankind, and he had not yet died when he made the statement, "It is finished," or he had not yet died, that means that sin could not have been finished when he was still hanging on the cross. So what did Jesus mean by "it is finished" when he said "it is finished" on the cross when he had not yet died? What was he referring to? What was Jesus talking about? Now let's back up a bit. Let's begin from Abraham. Abraham, when you look at Abraham, God started to introduce Abraham to a covenant relationship that he alone was going to make on behalf of mankind. God started introducing Abraham to a covenant relationship that he alone was going to make on behalf of mankind. So Abraham tried entering into a covenant with God, but he couldn't. Why? Because mortals cannot enter into a covenant with immortals. Mortals cannot enter into a covenant with immortals. What is a covenant? Or for us to understand this, we must know what a covenant is. What is a covenant? A covenant is a pledge, a vow, an agreement between two or more parties to carry out terms and conditions. And in every covenant, there are consequences and there are punishments when the covenant is violated. In every covenant, there are consequences and punishments when the covenant is violated. So God and man couldn't be able to enter into a covenant because God cannot fail, but man fails all the time. So there was no way that man would not have violated the covenant. Man, God cannot fail, but man fails all the time. Man is not reliable, God is reliable. Man is not trustworthy, God is trustworthy. So there was no way man would have been able to fulfill his part of the covenant. So God and man couldn't have been able to come into such level of agreement. So it was going to be injustice as well for the immortal God to cut a covenant with a mortal man, because mortal men don't have the criteria to meet such huge and heavy terms and conditions of such level of covenant. We mortals don't have the criteria to meet such huge terms and conditions of such level of covenant. So when God wanted to cut covenant with Abraham, well, the reason God wanted to do that with Abraham, well, it was for him to assure Abraham of his trustworthiness and his reliability. The reason he wanted to get into that covenant with Abraham was to assure Abraham that he was trustworthy and that he was reliable. It was to assure Abraham as well that he, God, cannot lie. So when the covenant journey started between Abraham and God, Abraham fainted during the process of the covenant, and he could not complete the covenant in Genesis chapter 15. He could not complete the covenant, and God, you know, finished the whole transaction and moved away. After some time, God came back to Abraham in Genesis 17 and began to talk to Abraham. Listen, we started covenant the other day. We started working on this journey. We were on this walk and you passed out. You fainted. So you did not complete your own agreement. You never got to the point where you completed your own agreement. So since you couldn't complete your own side of the bargain, I want you to assure me that you will trust me. Now, the only thing I want from you to assure me that you will trust me is circumcise yourself. That was how circumcision came into place. So God said to him, circumcise yourself and also circumcise every male in your house. Now, that circumcision is going to, you know, suffice for now, that you are trusting me, you are assuring me that you believe me and you believe in everything that I've said. Let's give the Lord praise this morning. Hallelujah. So Abraham circumcised himself and his children to prove to God that he believed that God's word will come to pass. But the covenant was still not completed. Because for a covenant to be legal, there must be two or more parties. And in this instance, Abraham couldn't make up the second party. So God had only himself in this covenant journey. And that was why when you look at all throughout, you know, in his journey with the Jews, he kept instituting different kinds of laws to try to, you know, bring them to the place where at least they could meet certain conditions for him to be able to do certain things, or all the things that he has promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God had only himself in the covenant, and there was no one to represent man in that covenant. So God started searching for someone who will represent man in this covenant between him and man. So God came out of himself in the journey of salvation. God now came out of himself, became a man called Jesus Christ. So Jesus, that came out of God, represented man, whilst God himself represented divinity. So it was God and God-man, who is Jesus Christ, who ended up making a covenant with themselves. So the new covenant is between God and God. The new covenant is between God and God. God cannot fail. God cannot fail. God cannot disappoint. God cannot disappoint. God is trustworthy. God is trustworthy. The man, the divine God, the God the Father, is trustworthy. God the Son, which is still God himself, is trustworthy. So it was now covenant between God and God. Let's look at the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews explaining detail all of the things I just, you know, said to you now. Now, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 to 18 now tells us, when God made this promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for himself to swear by, he swore by himself saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. Now, everything I said to you, this is, you know, Hebrews just collated it and gave it to us in few sentences. He says, say, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. So, God gave Abraham what he still promised, even though Abraham did not meet his side of the covenant. He still gave him what he promised. So people swore by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what he said and puts an end to all argument, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us, may be greatly encouraged. What were the two unchangeable things? It was God himself that was the two unchangeable things. What were the two unchangeable things? The promise and the oath. God himself, the promise, also God himself, the oath. The two unchangeable things, the promise and the oath. So God entered into a covenant with himself on your behalf through the man Jesus Christ. Hear me, friends. When you fail, it doesn't affect the covenant. Why? Because God didn't enter a covenant with you. That is why when you fail, the covenant remains intact. If God had entered into a covenant with you, it will have meant that when you fail, the covenant will have been scattered. But it was a covenant with himself. So when you fail, the covenant remains intact. When you are unfaithful, he is still faithful. The scripture says he will not deny himself. Why? Because the covenant was between himself. Because you are not, and because you are not a party to the covenant, you are just a beneficiary. God entered into covenant with himself, and man is a beneficiary of the covenant that God entered with himself. Did you understand that this morning? Now go ahead and give Jesus praise. Amen. Now hear this. Let me give you an example again to strengthen this. When your father and mother agreed to be married, children were not part of the covenant. There was nowhere where they stood before the priest that married them and say, when they were saying in sickness and in health, there was nowhere they say in children and no children. No, it was not part of it. Children are just, you know, beneficiaries. How will I put it? Children are just products of the agreement. Let's use that word. Children are products of the agreement of their marriage. So God and God entered into a covenant to give birth to you a new creation. You are a child of God, born of God. You are not a party to the covenant. You are a beneficiary to the covenant. Give Jesus praise this morning. Please celebrate the Lord, everybody. Give him praise. Now, by the reason of the covenant God has with himself, he has now decided. Now, by the reason of that covenant, he now decided to save you, take care of you, provide for you, preserve you, forgive you your sins, and ensure that you are guaranteed eternity with him. By the reason of that covenant, he now decided to save you, forgive you your sin, decided to provide for you, protect you, decided to preserve you, and also ensure that you are guaranteed eternity with him. Now, the covenant was what God promised Abraham. The covenant was what God promised Abraham, which God also fulfilled. No man fulfilled it. You, as a believer, you are a beneficiary of an existing covenant that God made with himself. Salvation is man benefiting from the agreement God made with himself. So when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, what Jesus was simply saying is that he has met the demands of the law. They are fulfilled. It is finished. What Jesus was simply saying is, when he said it is finished on the cross, he was simply saying that the terms and conditions of the covenant that God started with Abraham, now it is completed. That terms and condition, it's completed. When he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was now the beginning of the journey for him to now die for the sins of humanity, because the fall of man was separation from God. So the restoration of man is also going to come by separation. The fall of man was by separation. The restoration of man was also going to come by separation. So Jesus had to be separated from the Father so that he can be able to identify with you. So Jesus said, it is finished on the cross. He was simply saying, the covenant obligation required between man and God is now completed. Let's now start, proceed, and finish the journey. It is finished. The covenant obligation that was started by our father Abraham. That is why every time the blessing is talked about, it will say that the blessing of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles, because that was where the agreement started with. So in death, he identified with us. In death, he identified with humanity. That was why when Jesus was on the earth, he was hungry like you go hungry. He was tired like you get tired. He slept like you sleep. The Bible said they were traveling and Jesus slept inside the sheep. He was sleeping and the disciples woke him up. You are sleeping, we are dying here. He was hungry like everyone else. He was thirsty. Why? Because he needed to identify with human being. That is called identification. He died because you were dead in sin. That was why he died. He needed to die because you and I were dead in sin and trespasses. If he had not died, then he would not have identified with our sin. Death was necessary for him to identify with our sin. Why? Because we were dead in sins and trespasses. And the wages of sin is what? Dead. Give Jesus praise this morning. So on the third day, he rose. In resurrection now, you and I identify with him. So he, in death, he identifies with us. In resurrection, we identify with him. Come on, say thank you, Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus. Hey! Go with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I read from verse 8 to 10. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, through death we are reconciled. So how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? So his life is the guarantee of our salvation. That was why when you receive salvation, the life of Jesus comes into you to guarantee your salvation. The life of Jesus comes to guarantee your salvation. His life is now your life. His resurrection is now your resurrection. So as a believer, you must acknowledge, it returns back to Philemon, Paul now saying to us that the communication of our faith, we must acknowledge that now that we are in Christ, the only thing in us is good. Why? Because via salvation, the life of Jesus came into us. And the only thing that is in life of Jesus is good. The only thing in the life of Jesus is good. So he said, the communication of our faith will work when we acknowledge, when we come to the place of exact, precise, and accurate, holistic revelation knowledge of what has been done for us. Are you getting blessed? Are you getting blessed? So his life is now your life. His resurrection is now your resurrection. Hallelujah. So when Christ entered your heart through salvation, you died and Christ came alive. When he entered your heart through salvation, you died and he came alive. He came alive in you. So it is no longer you that live, but Christ that lives in you. The life you now live in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God who, you know, loved you and gave himself for you. Galatians 2:20. That you live in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God. Who did what? He loved you and he gave himself for you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, follow me. In the book of Leviticus chapter 16, when Moses communicated in types and shadows the reality of salvation, listen to this very carefully. In Leviticus 16, Moses was communicating to us, you know, in the realities of salvation in types and shadows. Now, Israel were to bring two goats every year. One goat was a scapegoat, or which is also known as the goat of escape. The second goat was for sacrifice under the Levitical priesthood, which was a metaphor also for the priesthood of Christ. Two goats. One was a scapegoat. The other one was a sacrificial goat, which, you know, under the Levitical priesthood, which was a priesthood, a metaphor for the priesthood of Christ, they were to bring it to the priest. Now, they will sin and sin and sin and sin and sin. At the end of the year, they will bring a goat to the priest, to the high priest. Listen very carefully. The high priest, when they bring the goat, the high priest doesn't examine the bringer. The high priest examines the goat. It's the goat he looks at. He doesn't look at the bringer. Follow me carefully. When they bring the goats now, you bring the goats, the high priest, you step aside, he examines the goat. That is why the kind of goat they were to bring, or lamb, it was, they gave them the kind of how it will look like. So he examines the goat. If the goat meets all the requirements, the sinner will be free to go. And then the goat becomes the substitute for the sinner. Then the goat will be killed. Then the blood of the goat will be carried by the high priest. The high priest carries it into the Holy of Holies once a year. Then when he gets to the Holy of Holies, he takes the blood of the goat and smears it on the mercy seat. When he does that, the sinner is now released, because the sinner is not the one that goes into the Holy of Holies to sprinkle the blood. The sinner does not have what it takes to go there. The high priest only, not even the junior priest, only the high priest must go. Nobody else is qualified to go. Are you understanding me? The sinner has no right. Only the high priest. It is the duty of the high priest to take the blood into the Holy of Holies. Even the junior priest is not permitted. When he smears the blood on the mercy seat, Israel is now released from their sins and the punishment, the consequences for their sins for a whole year. They are released completely for a whole year. Are you following me now? That blood covers them. No matter what they have done or do, the blood covers them. And because they still go and commit more sin and more sin and more sin and more sin, they prepare another goat. Are you understanding me? As long as the high priest and the goat meet the requirements of God, then they are free. Then the goat of escape, remember two, follow me carefully, two. First one was to be sacrificed, and the high priest takes the blood and smears it on the mercy seat. The second one was called the goat of escape, or the scapegoat. Now, the strong man will hold the goat down. The high priest will place his hand on the forehead of the goat and confess all their sins. All the sin of Israel on the goat of escape will place his hand and confess it. Then they will take the goat of escape, after the high priest has finished, take it to outside of the gate of the city and release the goats. As the goat is released and the goat goes away, it means the sin of Israel is gone for that year. Are you understanding me, everybody? Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? He releases it, and the goat escapes into the valley out of Israel. As the goat goes, or the sins of Israel goes with the goat. That was a type and shadow of the details of what Christ did. That was a metaphor. In that time, because the covenant was not completed, they had to function by types and shadow. Because the covenant that was started, Abraham couldn't finish it. So God had to find a way to make sure that he could still work with them. You know, when you're in the bank and something is happening, you know, the supervisor can come and override. But that doesn't mean that the mistake is fixed. We just override for now so that you can go. Then we will find a way to solve our system later. So God, this was an override from God so that they can still continue until the covenant demands will be met. Give Jesus praise this morning. So it was a time and shadow of the details of what Christ did. Don't forget, the sinner is not examined. It is the goat that is examined. But for us today, the Bible tells us, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world is here. Christ came as our Lamb. We are not the one that to be examined. It is Christ that is examined. And if Jesus was found perfect, my friend, you are perfect. If Jesus was found okay, you are okay. That is why the death of Jesus was a perfect sacrifice. Never to remind God again of the sins of humanity. Give Jesus praise this morning. If Jesus was accepted, you are accepted, because it is all based on what Jesus has done. That's what salvation is all about. That is why when you come to salvation, you are not asked to confess the whole sin. You started sinning when you were young. Where will you even start from? But when you confess Jesus, you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. The Bible says you are saved. You are saved. Why? Because God now looks at what Jesus has done, and salvation is given to you. Give Jesus praise this morning. So when Christ came, he was two goats in one. He was the goat of escape. He was also the sacrificial goat. When Jesus carried the cross on his way to Golgotha, follow carefully, as he was falling and rising, he was the goat of escape, carrying the sin of the whole world outside the gate. Remember, the high priest would take the goat outside the city and release. Golgotha, being outside Israel, was not a mistake. It was all in the agenda of God. Jesus carried the cross outside. When he came outside, the first job was completed, which was the goat of escape. It was not a mistake. Listen, study your scriptures. Golgotha was not inside Israel. It was outside. It was outside. Hallelujah. So when he arrived at the cross of Calvary, the first lamb finished his work. When he died, he now died as a sacrificial lamb. He was separated from the Father. He became sin. He went to hell. Understand that Jesus didn't commit sin, but he took our sin, became sin, went to hell. He became sin. He didn't commit sin. He became sin. He became sin. He went to hell. And in hell, he paid the price for sin. He was in hell for 3 days and three nights. And after the third day, when the demands of justice was met, Jesus rose from the dead. And when he was rising out of the grave, he stopped by paradise. I said, there is an unfinished business. He went to hell. Now, when we talk about hell, Jesus didn't go to hellfire. I hope you know. But let me teach you. Jesus didn't go to hellfire. When the Bible talks about hell in scriptures, hell represents three things. It represents three places. Number one, there is hell, Hades, which refers to the common grave of mankind, outer darkness. That was where Jesus went to. Outer darkness. Number two, there is Gehenna. Gehenna is a place of eternal destruction, which is hellfire. That is where that will be the final destination for everyone who has rejected Christ, and for the devil and every demon. Then we have Tartarus, which is a place of abased condition, specifically for demons. So when Jesus went to hell, if Jesus had entered hellfire, he would have extinguished hellfire. When life, Jesus, if he had entered hell, hell would have been deleted. But he went to the place of outer darkness, a place of separation from the Father. So the hell that Jesus went to was Hades for 3 days, which was a place of outer darkness. It was because of spiritual death. He stayed there. So Jesus is the scapegoat for the believer. Also, the sacrificial lamb. Now, when he died 3 days in hell, when he rose, he passed by paradise, which was where all the Old Testament saints were. Because they had not received salvation, or they didn't have eternal life. They were kept in paradise. When Jesus went, he went to them because all they had was a promissory note. So Jesus had to go to them. They only had salvation in a promissory note. So he collected the promissory note, gave them eternal life. He had all of them rose together with him from the place of death. And the Bible tells us that the Old Testament saints, when you study the scriptures, when Jesus resurrected, they all also rose. They entered Jerusalem. They were appearing to people on their way to heaven. So whilst all this was happening, Mary was now by the grave of Jesus. They had salvation in a promissory note. So Jesus had to go collect the promissory note so that they can now have eternal life, and he took them along. All the Old Testament saints, Elijah, all of them, their salvation in the promissory note. Hallelujah. That is why the Bible said, you know, they looked and looked at the things reserved for us. And they wonder, who are these people that God have reserved these kind of things for? They can't believe that there's a generation that God has prepared this for by the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Listen, my friends, if you live below what Jesus died for, it's an anathema. If you live below what Jesus has died for, it's an insult to the heavy price that Jesus paid for. There are things that ought not to happen to the believer because of the heavy price that Christ has paid. Give Jesus praise this morning. Please give Jesus praise this morning. So I begin to find somewhere to close here. Follow me carefully. When Mary, while all of that was happening, Mary was by the garden. And when she saw a figure, she thought it was the gardener. When she got closer, she saw it was Jesus. She ran towards him and listened to the conversation. John chapter 20 from verse 14 to 18. She turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me. Don't come close to me. I've not finished this work. Don't come close to me. For I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he has said these things to her. At that instant, Jesus said to her, "I am going to my Father, who will now be your Father, because something has changed. Henceforth, we will now start sharing the same paternity. My Father will be your Father. My God will be your God." Hallelujah. That henceforth, things have changed. He is now my Father, your Father. Before, I used to be the only. But now, we are many. Many sons unto glory. Now, go and tell them. Go and tell them that paternity has changed. Go and tell them that things have changed around them. There is a new sheriff in town. Go tell them. There is a new law, a new agenda. Go tell them that it will no longer be as it used to be. Give Jesus your praise. Hallelujah. So Jesus died as two lambs or two goats. He rose as a high priest. He died as a sacrificial and an escape goat. He rose as a high priest. Jesus is two lambs and also the high priest. Upon his resurrection, he rose as the high priest to now walk into the Holy of Holies to put the blood on the mercy seat. Remember the priest? He must take the sacrificial blood and put it on the mercy seat. Jesus had to do the same. He himself, listen, there was no liquid blood that Jesus carried. He himself was the blood, and there was no mercy seat. He himself became the mercy seats. Are you understanding me now? Those years in the metaphor and typology, there was a seat. But this time around, he was the blood. He is also the seat. That is why the Bible tells us, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Because the mercy is a person. The grace is a person. He is Jesus the Christ. Celebrate the Lord this morning. So the blood is not liquid blood. The blood is the life of Jesus. So when I tell you sometimes, sprinkle the blood of Jesus. Do you know what I'm telling you? Put the life of Jesus on you. Because the book of Leviticus tells us the life of a thief is in the blood. So the blood of Jesus that Jesus took to heaven was not a red liquid in a container. Jesus took himself to heaven. Now I said to Mary, don't touch me. Don't touch me. I need to take this to the Father. Don't touch me. But go back. Tell them there is a new order. Tell them there is a new order. The blood was himself. He was not carrying a liquid to go and spray. No. He was himself. So when Jesus appeared in heaven, the blood appeared in heaven. When he tendered the blood to the mercy seat, it was him who sat as the mercy seat. Hear this, friends. He sat as the mercy seat. Why? Because Jesus is God's mercy to you. Jesus is God's mercy to Hebrews 4:16. We come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So this verse is simply saying to us, come, receive the offer of God's grace and mercy. Which is a person? And who is that person? Jesus Christ. Child of God, what Jesus has done for you and I is too much. That is why you are not supposed to suffer certain things here on the earth. Because it will be an insult to what Jesus has done for you. When Jesus walked the earth 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible said he taught them things pertaining to the kingdom. You can read that in the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 1, from verse 1 to 3. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. So he spent 40 days speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He spent 40 days speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He began to teach them the kingdom. He began to teach them the kingdom. He began to teach for 40 days speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Then the apostle Paul came into the picture and he said, let me give you an insight into those things which he taught. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12 to 14. Giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. Inheritance of the saints in light, then who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So there are the things pertaining to the kingdom Jesus taught. Number one, I will only give you that today. Number one, he said, you are delivered. He taught them that they are delivered. My friend, the believer has been delivered from the power of darkness. You have been translated. The believer is no longer in the kingdom of darkness. The believer has migrated. My friend, you have migrated. Give Jesus your praise, please. That
That is why Paul said you need to come to the place of accurate, exact, precise, holistic revelation knowledge. If you don't come there, you will not be able to acknowledge. Now that many believers are falling victim because they have no accurate, no precise, no exact knowledge of what Jesus has done. You have migrated. You have migrated. For example, if I go to Canada, the very moment I arrive in Canada, the laws of South Africa ceases to apply to me. It ceases immediately to apply. I may be a South African citizen, but for the fact I am on Canadian soil, Canadian law kicks in. It kicks in immediately. My friend, you have migrated. You have migrated from the kingdom of darkness. The law there no longer applies to you. If it still applies to you, it means where now you keep going back to where you have left. What are you looking for there? Believers keep going back. They keep going to Inyanga. And the devils will say, actually, we thought you migrated. You're here. So you are dual citizenship of migration. One moment, you're a kingdomite. Another moment, you're a devilite. There's anything like that. You migrated. What are you looking for there? They tie things on their waist. Where now you're tying things on your waist? What's going on here? Abana, what's going on here? What's happening? What's going on? You migrated. You left here. You are now here. But while you're here, we still see you carrying things from here. So the people here say, hey, you have our property. They come visit you. You say, but Pastor, I'm fasting and praying. Oh, check yourself. Because you can't be where I am and they still come to you. When the believer comes to the place of exact, accurate, precise, holistic revelation knowledge of what Jesus has done, your faith will always work. You go to Zimbabwe. Let's assume you migrate to Zimbabwe. In South Africa, you can cuss out the president. You call it freedom of speech. Nobody do anything. But in Zimbabwe, there's a law. You can't speak evil about the president. Then you arrive. You still now want to use the same attitude. They tell, as you open your mouth, they arrest you. Because now, in Zimbabwe, the law is you can't speak evil about the president. Whether he's good or bad. Why? The law applies. With your South African passport, South African ID, the law of Zimbabwe, as long as your foot is on the soil of Zimbabwe, the laws of Zimbabwe kicks in. You don't have to like it. My friend, now you're in the kingdom. In this kingdom, we are far above principalities and powers. In this kingdom, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for my sake he became poor, that through his poverty I might be rich. In this kingdom, by his stripes we are healed. In this kingdom, we are the light, we are the salt, we are set on a hill, we cannot be hidden. In this kingdom, child of God, you are not an idea whose moment has to come. You are the very moment creation has been waiting for. We are tribe of kings. Our reality is dominion. Our heritage is royalty. Our destiny is to rule and to reign. Give Jesus your praise this morning. In this kingdom where we are, child of God, it is time you rise as the chosen one. The heavens have spoken about. You are called by a new name. Give Jesus praise this morning. You are called by a new name.
Oh, lift your voice in thanksgiving. You are called by a new name. Jesus, what he did is too much. What he did is too much. He's beyond Easter. Ah, celebrate him this morning. Celebrate him this morning. I want you to do one prayer for yourself. Say, Lord, I acknowledge. I acknowledge that the only thing in me now is good. The only thing that is in me now is good. Go ahead and acknowledge it.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.